such joy, such extravagance, upon Christ throw all away. There is something extravagant about Easter. There's supposed to be. It overflows with joy. It refuses sorrow, or at least it refuses to let sorrow have the last word. Woman, why are you weeping? The angels ask this. Jesus asks this of Mary today in the gospel. And she says, they have taken away my Lord. They have taken away my heart. Did you see what happened to him on Good Friday? And now, where is he? And Jesus says, but why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for anyway? And she says, taken, did you see him? If so, tell me where to find him. And he says, Mary. Her name. The living one spoke her name, and she realized this is the beloved she was looking for right in front of her. Both of the Gospels appointed for today, they're both in your insert. I read John, but they're both there. And both of them highlight the fact that women were our first apostles. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In Luke's Gospel, several women who are even named go to the tomb and return to tell the men that Jesus had risen. And the men didn't believe them. Are you surprised? In both Gospels, Peter runs to the tomb. Now, I don't think that's an incidental detail, because the possibility that Jesus is no longer among the dead but among the living is just too, well, ludicrous on the one hand and too hopeful on the other to possibly be true. Peter didn't dare believe it, not until he saw it. So he ran as fast as his unbelieving legs would carry him. But in John's version, after Peter got there with the beloved disciple, what did they do? They believed, and apparently they went home for lunch. I don't know. It was Mary who stayed behind. Out of her love, out of her grief, it wasn't enough to know he wasn't there. Her heart longed to know where he was and to have him with her. And he found her, Mary. Mary was given more than belief. She was the first to encounter the living Christ. At first, she did not recognize him. How could she? It's hard to recognize joy when the only tune you can hear is the threnody of grief and sorrow. I wrote that before I knew this morning that in Sri Lanka, bombs went off and killed nearly 200 who were attending Easter morning services and in hotels. The song of death has a way of making us deaf and blind, of beating our ears with doubt and despair as though that was the only tune playing. And death is still trying to win. There's a scene in the show 6 Feet Under in which one of the characters has lost her older brother and she goes to visit him at the grave and begins talking with him as though he's still alive. And the way the show works, the people show up and they talk back as ghosts or whatever they are. I don't know. And she says, why did you have to die? Everything's unraveling since you're gone. And she starts telling him how much she regrets not knowing him better, drops a number of F-bombs, and starts getting lost in her regret and pain and anger. And her brother says, Claire, stop listening to the static. I imagine Jesus' words to Mary the same way. Mary, stop listening to the static. It's me. Death didn't win, and it won't win. That's the static. Stop listening to the static. The terrors of the world want to strip you of your joy, but I am here. This morning, beloved, this morning, the risen one calls each and every one of you by name and says, don't listen to the static, because the earth trembles with a new song. This morning, joy speaks your name and mine and the names of all those who lost their lives so violently overnight, calling us all from death into life, because this morning and every morning hereafter, the gates of hell and death are smashed off their hinges. I think there are still a few copies of last night's bulletin from the Easter Vigil running around. I'll try to find some so you can look at this afterward. On the front is the Anastasis, or resurrection, icon. If you get a chance to look at it, you'll see that Christ is standing on the gates of Hades. He broke them open and he's trampled them down, and he is taking Adam and Eve by the hand and leading them out. This is the good news of Easter. On Easter, the Orthodox churches repeat the refrain, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. Or one of my favorite ones, St. Cyril of Alexandria puts it a little more graphically, when he portrays Jesus as a meal that death could just not keep down. And that when he came back up, all those who had died came back up with him. It's graphic. But that's the image of Christ shattering the power of death. That's what makes him the firstborn from among the dead. Christ is not among the dead, but among the living. A new creation is coming into being, and the former things will not be remembered. The former tears, the former sorrow, the screeching song of death will be forgotten, overwhelmed by this new and grander symphony. It's hard to see it now. Joy is not always easy to perceive. Peter didn't dare believe the report of the women. Mary could hardly believe that he hadn't been taken away. But then he spoke. And his voice, saying her name, was all she needed to know. He is alive and calling you too, to rejoice, to make merry, to feast. Are you in grief? Rejoice anyway. For the last enemy to be defeated is death. And Christ has done that. Death is still trying to win, but we already know that Christ has won. He's not among the dead, but among the living. So rejoice. We are free to live in this new creation with the joy of life that has trampled down death now and hereafter. So we sing our alleluias. Besides Eastertide, the other time we hear and speak this refrain in our churches is during our burial rites. You can look it up in the Book of Common Prayer and everything. When we commend our fallen brothers or sisters to God, we say, all of us go down to the dust, yet even in our grave we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. It is our way of recalling that because Jesus is raised, death does not end us. Death cannot extinguish our joy, for that joy is kept in the hand of the one who has defeated death, and he is not in the habit of losing anything that belongs to him. We sing our alleluias for ourselves, for each other, for a world that needs us to sing our alleluias. So rejoice this day. Awesome. That's good timing, actually. So rejoice this day, beloved of God, and know that Christ calls your name, calls you beyond the grave and into joy, beyond the cheap fugue of death into the reckless and beautiful symphony of life. It's not always easy to hear this song, but that is what the church is here for, to remember it together, to celebrate it at the altar, to ground it in our experience of Christ in the Eucharist and in prayer, to bear each other's pains and to sing our alleluias for one another. For Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And I'm going to let Hopkins have the last word. Beauty now for ashes wear, perfumes for the garb of woe, chaplets for disheveled hair, dances for sad footsteps slow. Open wide your hearts that they let enjoy this Easter day. Amen.